This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on Point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. I am the Blue Liner on Point. And another exciting week of Caps hockey we're going to talk about. And the we includes my beautiful, wonderful, always mermaid, always partner, Anna Knox, live from Centerville, Virginia herself.
Yes, yes, yes. Happy, gorgeous Sunday, Gil.
Yes, a gorgeous Sunday it is for once. No rain. No dreary clouds. No April rain, as the famous Stevie Wonder song goes, even though it is March.
True. So how are you? How was your week?
Not too bad. We're still in the middle of tax week, so it's busy time. And so that's always fun, but we're keeping busy as we always were. And it's a nice week until a certain something happened. I was actually in something of a decent groove, but we'll get to that later. Yeah, we've got some plans for the show. We'll get to that when we get towards the end. But it involves, of course, the ladies listening out there. Of course, this being March now, we've turned the calendar. It is Women's History Month, so I would like ideally to involve as many of our female listeners as possible, but we'll kind of lift the curtain on that when we get to the end. But first, let's go over the action on the ice. Now, as we were taping, last Sunday's game was actually still on and had closed exactly as we were taping. So let's briefly go over that. So of course, it was against the Devils as part of the road swing. So, all right. So Devils quickly jumped out to a 1-0 lead. Maltsev with his second, PK Subban and Zaka on the assist, 6:45 in the first. Jacob Vrana, 9 minutes later, would tie it with his seventh. Tom Wilson and Brendan Dillon assisting there. Thus the period would end. Second period pretty much was where the game was won and lost. Niklas Backstrom, his double-digit 10th, assisted by Tom Wilson, his double-digit 10th assist, and Jacob Vrana, his 7th assist. You like those threes. I think this game's Vrana was rolling those sevens, though. I'd like to have him beside me at a craps table or something.
No shit. I know.
Seventh goal, seventh assist. He was into it.
He was on it.
Yeah, for sure. And then a guy named, I'm not even going to try, Yegor Sharangovich.
Sharangovich.
I dated a Sharon once, and that's what she did when I was 10 minutes late for our first date. Mm. So anyway, he ties it up with his third, Wooden Zajac on the assists. And then the captain comes in, pots his seventh on a snapper. which turned out to be the game winner. Eller and Jensen with the assists on that one. Jensen, his sixth assist. 13:37 in the second. No goals in the third, so thus endeth the game. Three stars, Vrana, Ovechkin, and Backstrom.
Yes.
Shots on goal, 23-21 for the Caps. Face-off, outstanding performance.
Yes.
67.3% win at the dot. Virtuoso. Power play, six chances given up altogether, three on each side. Nobody scored. And as is typical of a Jersey game, not much action back and forth, so not very many hits. So not a very active game, but you would have thought that would have played into Jersey style, but it didn't. Just a little too much skill and talent edge to the Caps right now. But as you and I mentioned last week, that's not always going to be the case, at least in the coming years, right, against Jersey. So
absolutely.
Only thing I didn't like, Caps only had one shot on goal in the third. That's not how you win games. But good job by the defense all overall to clamp down. Other than that, it's a pretty well played game. So
yeah, I enjoyed it.
I definitely enjoyed it. Sorry. Even though I couldn't really watch it because, again, we were taping like the last 30 minutes of it. So
right.
Anyway, no,
I was watching on my phone.
Yeah,
but I was listening enthusiastically to the show.
I'm sure you were.
That's what I do.
Okay, and then the Caps had this is a bit of an oddity in the schedule. The Caps had 2 days off. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm looking, well, we'll get to this later on. Now that I'm looking at March, March is a really weird month.
It is.
I'm looking at a bunch of strange looking holes in the schedule, but yeah. Like I said, we'll bring it up later. So the next game was the first in March, March the 3rd, last Wednesday, 2-1 win against Boston. Mm-hmm.
I liked this game.
I liked this game a lot. This was probably even more against that one win against the Penguins, the most complete 60-minute effort. They looked very, very good. They matched Boston.
Yes.
Skate stride for stride on both ends of the ice. They look to be the more faster, the faster team, the mm-hmm. more complete team.
Yep.
They covered both ends very, very well. I don't think anybody really had a bad game in this one. So let's just go over the particulars here as far as the scoring. Pasta Pasternak, his double-digit 10th, assisted by Ratface, 119 in the third. Let's see. And then 5 minutes later, almost exactly 5 minutes later, Lars Eller, his fifth with a wrister, Panik and Jensen on the assist, tying at 1-1. So all that was actually in the third period.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good game. If you like, I don't know. I don't know if I would call it a goalies duel because there weren't that very many shots on goal, to be honest. It was a defensive duel, and you know, go ahead. Oh. No, go ahead.
I like the Tuukka Rask, Vitek Vanacek lineup. I like those two. And I felt like this was, I feel like the lines on this particular game, Laviolette was spot on. Like, it was tight. They weren't overthinking. They weren't overshooting. They weren't overpassing. They looked like they just... it just gelled, and it was a good team, and it was 60 minutes of hockey, you know, and that's what we have wanted to see. Don't give a team an opportunity to come out in the first period and then try to scramble the second and third or, you know, whatever. But I thoroughly enjoyed this game. Second one, yeah. Not so much.
Well, yeah. But yeah, this was, I thought, even though the goals obviously were lacking a bit, offensive finish wasn't quite there as much as you'd want. This was a pretty good, this is a classic grinded out 2-1 game. And,
yeah.
And, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm a bit of a traditionalist, but yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that in my eyes.
No. And I know you hate the shootout, but I think the fact that, Vanacek was able to stop Marchand just made it that much better.
Oh yeah, that was the icing on the cake for sure. So yeah, of course, obviously it went 1-1 into the shootout and or the overtime, then the shootout, and of course I for one was praying, oh please Lord, you know, don't somebody forget to back check or something like that. Right. Don't give it up in OT or don't. I almost would rather at that point just let it go to the shootout and lose that way. But yeah, V squared stopped all three shots from Jake DeBrusque, Pastrnak, and Ratface for the capper, and Jacob Vrana again ought to be named Cap Star of the Week, and I guess. Because another good game from him, he got the lone goal in the shootout that won it. And he didn't even make top three as far as the stars of the game. But it was Ovechkin, Rask, and Vanacek. And Ovechkin.
Come on.
We shouldn't be I know where you're going with this. We shouldn't be celebrating it, but yeah, as I posted, look, we're not supposed to be condoning that kind of behavior, but I'm sorry.
All I was going to say was that last week's show, you know, we kind of laughed that one of the stars was Chris Letang's stick.
Oh, right.
And I felt like, you know, to put Alex Ovechkin was very, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek, sort of humorous, because he did exactly what I think a 99% of us wanted to do or would have done if we were in that situation, to shut that kid up. And it was awesome. And then he got fine and we moved on. So,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, okay, rundown of the vitals. 28 shots for the Caps, only 19 for the Bruins. Wow, you shut down a team like that to just 19 shots.
Yeah
pretty damn good. Face off not as good, but then when you are up against the likes of a Patrice Bergeron, that. And okay, so faceoff continues to be a stat that bedevils a lot of people, including me. You know, sometimes it's really, really important. And then you have this game where, you know, Caps came up a little on the short end of the stick, no pun intended, here, and still managed to win the game. So sometimes it's really important, sometimes it's not.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Hard to get a beat on it.
Yeah, it can't be the sole reason to win a game.
No, it's not. It rarely ever is. That's you know the point I try to make. Yeah. But
it definitely doesn't help us if we are consistently well below the 50%.
True.
So.
True enough. And so that's obviously, those nights where it's 40% and below is that's a cause for concern. And
right.
as the announcers did mention, stick tap to a new, I don't know what his title is, but I think he's a team developmental coach, but the hiring of Mike Pekka again, wow.
Oh yeah, just clap around.
Absolutely phenomenal in what he's done as far as how to win the faceoffs. Dowd, Eller, even Kuznetsov, their percentages have all jumped in the last month since his hiring. So, yeah, and definitely stick tap to him for that.
I will say, when I was just talking to Robbie about that, I was just saying that I think that anytime you have a player, a veteran player like a Kuzi, who is willing to openly admit, and there's no shame in it, saying, you know, why anybody could, you know, use extra practice and, you know, on the strategies, puck drop and what to do and get in the right mindset. And the fact that he's doing that, yeah, hats off. Like, that's just great. And, you know, knowing and being an athlete and saying, yeah, I could improve on this and this is what I'm going to do, gets super respect from me versus the, you know, I know it all, don't tell me what to do, I make so much money athletes. So I think that I agree. The add to the roster was a good move on the Caps end.
Yeah, and I think Kuznetsov would actually be the first one to tell everybody the first step in solving a problem you have is admitting you have a problem.
Yeah. No zing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So thus ended that game. We're all feeling good. And yeah, then came Friday night. And oh boy. Okay. I thought, I'll say this much. I thought, even though the Caps did give up the first goal, I thought it wasn't that bad a start. It was actually pretty good. It was more, a lot more of the same. I'm thinking, okay, so this is going to be a lot more of the same that what we saw Wednesday. And then the second period came and yeah, the wheels fell off.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Almost literally. I could have sworn if this was Capital One, the wheels probably would have fallen off the Zamboni and left a big crap on the ice the way this game was going. I don't have to go over the particulars. So y'all saw it, five unanswered goals. Well, until the very end when, Vrana got his eighth, the hell, make him the star of the week for the Caps, for crying out loud, if they have such a thing.
And Nicholas Backstrom.
I was getting to that. Okay. And so the one shining light on what was otherwise a very dark game was Nicholas Backstrom assisting on said goal, his 16th of the year, which of course is his 700th for his career. Oshie with the secondary assist on that one, spoiling the shutout for Halak. There's that. I don't think here's the thing I don't understand. Caps had 32 shots on goal. I don't know. That was much more output. I know what went wrong, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, I felt like Wednesday night, from the moment they hit the ice, they were in a good headspace, and it was, I don't know. I feel like this is a team that when they don't overthink, and I know that sounds very generic, and they don't overpass and whatnot, they tend to succeed. And I think that we saw this when all four Russians were out and everyone was really kind of concerned on how the team was going to do. And they kicked ass because they rallied together as a team. They had fun playing hockey. Like, they just had a good time. And when you start to overthink it, it is, you know, becoming this like Charlie Brown in the football. You know, it's like, oh my God. Again, with the, you know, overpassing, mispasses, you know, and then the whole focus of the game left the ice, in my opinion, after the first period, maybe even the second half of the first period. And it just focused on stupid shit like fighting and chirping and letting it get into them, into their heads. And I think it just became an enormous distraction. Obviously, we know what happened with Tom Wilson and But I think that they just became like the focus just completely came off of the game and just, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I got derailed. And now let's just talk about, you know, stupid penalties and the physicality of, you know, this team getting Tom Wilson all riled up. So,
yeah, true enough. True enough. And, yeah. So that's you nailed it, Anna. That's pretty much what I was going to say. I think they just simply lost their focus, and you know, the hit counts tell it all. They showed up with the right intensity, but with the wrong focus, I think.
Yes,
is pretty much what happened to them, and I mean, there's no two ways about it. There's no nice way of saying it. They fell into
it sucked.
They fell into the Bruins trap. They planned that all along. That's how this team plays. Yeah. You know, that's how this team does their business. You know, yeah, they have a lot of talent, but they also have a lot of no talent. who knows how to goad.
Yeah.
You know, the worst out of their opponents, and that's what happened here. And you know, they fell into the trap, and then they just lost their focus. And when you do that, you don't win games. So now I want to jump back before we get into our big discussion, and everybody knows what that is. I love Vitek Vanacek, but I have to slip this comment in here. I think it was the win against the first game, Pastrnak had an early chance. Of course we can't let this slip by. He had pretty much a breakaway, and Vanacek did the best he could to cut him off, but Pastrnak managed to get a shot off that managed to hit the post, hit Vanacek, and then squibble past the net.
Right.
And I made a comment to Mrs. Blue Liner at the time. I said, do you remember when Vanacek kissed the post that in one of his first games? I think what he ought to do for the post this time is take it out for a lobster dinner. After that one. So
yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah.
Especially from a pasta shot. I mean, God.
Yeah. But as entertaining as that one was, this past one was a big ass crap dump in the middle of the wherever you want.
That's a second reference to a crap dump. One from a Zamboni, and now from this.
Well, like I said, I know the great caca when I see, smell, hear, touch, and or taste it.
Yeah.
Sorry if I ruin anybody's lobster dinner.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway. Okay. So, all right. So, yes, we've come to the part of the show where, yeah, y'all can expect it. Okay. So, we're both big Tom Wilson fans, and we've both made our feelings known on the Facebook page, which is our, not our sole source of communication, but our main source. If you are listening right now through the earbud speakers, what have you right now, if you haven't joined, please do join our Facebook page, get in on the discussion. But we've made our feelings known. So it's pretty obvious if you're listening, we both think this, what has happened is a bunch of crap. So I am, and I was discussing with Anna before we started recording, I'm going to go ahead and put on my lawyer suit now, and I'm going to give you the rundown of how I saw things. And again, I'm going to throw out this disclaimer is just one guy's opinion, one Caps fan. I'm not even a journalist. I will tell you though, I'm not technically an expert, but I have seen probably over 3,500 games in my life. I think I know what goes on in a hockey game as well as the average fan. So I will qualify myself that way. So I think the best way to approach this, at least me being me, is scientifically, and that is stating facts. So here we go. Fact number one. And of course, we're talking about the controversial hit from Tom Wilson on Brendan Carlo with 90 seconds remaining into the first period that injured Brendan Carlo and gave Tom Wilson his latest suspension in 7 games. All right. So we're going to run that down. First, the actual act, and then the flaw in the NHL's logic. So fact number one, the principal point of contact of the hit was not the head, and the league even agreed to do so. I'll go into that, that was the case. Go into that more in a minute. But the principal point of contact was not the head. It was the high chest and shoulder area, which makes it, by definition, a legal hit. So, in other words, nothing wrong with the play. Fact number one. Fact number two, you throw in other details of the if. And again, I said this, watch the damn replay. Watch the replay carefully. Okay. Fact number two, look at the actual act of the hit. One, part A, for one, he does not leave his feet. His elbows stay down. He's in a classic hockey stance. And he does not make any effort. The intent, quote unquote, was to take the puck away. Now, this is probably the only leak in the plumbing that I'll offer. Is there another way he could have gone about it? You can make that argument. I'll allow that argument. It makes sense that, yeah, he didn't have to do exactly what he did, but on paper anyway, the way he went about it, still legal, still clean. So given those two facts, you can eliminate the fact that, or the insinuation that this act violated rule number 48, which they made several years ago, outlawing targeted hits to the head, targeted hockey hits to the head of any player. So the NHL basically admitted that, oh no, he didn't violate rule 48, so this is not something that falls under that microscope, which apparently the league has been big about and wanting to crack down and eliminate, but yet still happens. Because, oh no, accidents still happen. And it is, as Mrs. Blue Liner so eloquently pointed out, hockey still is a contact sport, much as the league may not want to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, violation of rule 48 eliminated. So, which leads to fact number three. No penalty was called on the play at all by the referees. No penalty. In fact, if you see, and this is obvious on the Homer Northeast Sports Network replay, you can see it there. The two referees, even huddled in the referee's crease, spoke to the two captains and discussed the ruling and found that there was no wrongdoing, nothing that merited even a 2-minute minor penalty. So in their judgment, nothing wrong, no call on the ice. And it was okay. So this is probably the biggest problem I have with it, other than the second part of it, which is how the league went about it. But if the referees and Carlo had the puck, I think people tend to forget that Carlo had possession of the puck at the time. Okay, we're not talking about interference. We're not talking about a random hit. Brendan Carlo had possession of the puck at the time. Yes, he was against the boards. I find it to be in a bit of a gray area that if you want to call him a vulnerable player, I don't think he was. And again, look at the replay. He actually puts his head down. And you can make the argument that he does see Wilson coming, because I'll tell you why. If you look at him, focus on him, he puts his head down and his stick up, raises his stick. Not to handle the puck, If it's not to handle the puck, why is he raising his stick? Why is he raising the butt end of the stick? Because he knows somebody's coming. And how do you think Wilson, who was also injured on the play, got that cut on his lip? That's how. So if you want to make the argument that he was a quote-unquote defenseless player, well, I beg to differ. Because why then did he put his head down and raise his stick if he was that defenseless? I don't think he was. And you out there who, and I've seen the Twitter arguments. Look, as far as what Vrana did, again, look at the replay. Vrana, the two times his stick made contact with Carlo, he was pushed from behind both times by Matt Grzelcyk. His stick was pushed by Matt Grzelcyk's stick the first time, and the second blow, if you want to call it that, Grzelcyk pushed him down, pushed him into Carlo. And I think, honestly, I think that was probably the worst of the contact, was when that happened. But Vrana fell into him. He did not cross-check him. He fell into him. So you can't really argue that either. But getting back to fact number three, the refs didn't call the penalty. So if the refs don't call the penalty on the ice, what is this? So is the league saying the refs are wrong? Is this some sort of oversight by the refs? Are they saying, you know, because they can make a ruling and say, hey, you did wrong. You violated the rule. Not only am I going to give you a 2 and a 5, you're out of here. They can rule that. Now, they can't rule on supplementary discipline, obviously. But if they found absolutely nothing wrong with the hit, and Carlo, again, I can't stress this enough, he had possession of the puck. So at least one official was watching the whole time and decided not to call anything. Just saying. Anyway, so fact number four. So this is going into the second part of it. How the league, now we're going to get into how the league decided to handle it. Okay, so we took down the argument that said, okay, this is not technically not an illegal hit to the head, cannot be violation of Rule 48. So the league decides, okay, we're going to get you on boarding. Really? Okay, here's fact number four. I went over the last 2 years' worth of suspensions. There have been numerous instances of boarding over the course of the last two seasons. None of them, none of these reviews by DOPS, Department of Player Safety, have resulted in a suspension longer than 2 games. So why the change? I'll tell you why. Because the player who was involved is not named Ivan Sinofovich, is not named Harry Yokihar, you pulled my pants down, is not named Jens Jensen or Hells Helgerson. His name is Tom Wilson. That's the only reason why the league has decided to set this precedent and say, oh, we're going to go above board. We're going to go above what we usually do and take this and say, well, we can't say it was a legal hit to the head. We're going to call it boarding and we're going to prosecute it that way and say, okay, you did this wrong. It's a violation of this rule, not this other rule. And make our case that way. And that way you're backed into a corner. You can't defend yourself and you're done. You're suspended. That's what, even though, again, the two refs on the ice never called a penalty, not once, huddled, considered it, didn't do anything, didn't act. So are you saying your refs are wrong? Obviously you are. Obviously. And then to back Wilson into a corner and say, well, we're not going to get you on illegal hit to the head, which it wasn't. We're going to get you on this. And you're done for 7 games because of that, because you hit him and he went into the boards. Okay, fine. You want to get legal and technical? Yes, he hit him. He went in the boards. I guess you can say boarding. But again, refs didn't call it on the ice. But that still leaves me wondering, why the change? Why the precedent? I can spew out a lot more facts if you want, but we just simply don't have the time. If anybody's interested, message me, post it on Facebook, post it on our page. There are an extreme amount of flaws to the league's logic. And when I posted this morning and I said, this is going to change the game, well, it may change the game in that they are, the league is probably going to decide that eventually that all hits are illegal. This is the first step down that slippery slope where they're going to eliminate all hits. And it's all because they are afraid of getting sued 20 years down the line by some poor player who ends up with CTE. That's chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Or when your brain swells to the point where you suffer tremendously because of it, because of repeated contact to the head. I'm not a judge and jury. I'm not here to say that players know what they sign up for. I'm not saying any of that. But again, like the missus said, this is still a contact sport, or at least it was. It was meant to be. If you're going to change that, then fine. You're going to change the game forever. You want to legislate fighting out, that's one thing. But if you want to change an aspect of the game that's important, I think, and a lot of fans still think is important, the physicality of the game, because you're not going to eliminate it. There's no way. You're talking about players that travel anywhere from 20 to 35 miles an hour at a clip and run into walls, run into each other, run into iron, run into graphite. Okay? You're not going to, there is no way to legislate physicality out of the game. I think the league is trying to do that. And by setting this precedent, they're making a dangerous, dangerous mistake in trying to change the game for the worse. I'll end with this based on that. I'll end with this. So by the league's logic, the hip check that Orlov did 2 years ago against that Colorado player, by the league's logic, that hit is going to be labeled as quote unquote dangerous and suspendable. You mark my words. And the only other option, because the league has painted itself into a corner too, the only other option is they're just going to keep on going down this road of when Tom Wilson does it, it's another standard. When player XYZ does it, not as bad. But they're still going to hide behind this made-up definition of, oh, it's a dangerous play. It's not a hockey play. It's a dangerous hit. It's a dangerous play. You can end up suffering a career-ending and life-altering injury every time you lace up the skates and not even be hit. It doesn't take an act of violence. It can be just losing an edge and running into the boards. That has happened to players. That has ended careers. So what's the difference? You're trying to legislate something that you really don't have any control over, and you shouldn't try to control. And if your referees did a better job of controlling during the in-game action and policing the game and sending the message to the players that the behavior isn't tolerated, then maybe this wouldn't have happened in the first place. So I'll end with that. That's my take on it. Anybody wants to argue with me or agree with me, however you want to say it, have your say. Facebook.com, Power Play Point Podcast. Blue Liner at Blue Liner, BLULINER 98 at Twitter. I'm put out my personal email, GLHALLOWED@yahoo.com. Bring it. You got a brief with me? Bring it. Want to argue with me? I'll go toe to toe, letter for letter with you. I know what I saw. I may not be the world's foremost expert in the game, although I was with a company called All Experts covering hockey once. And I got friends to prove it. I know what I saw. What I saw wasn't what the league is trying to punish. League saw it differently. What they saw and their interpretation of it is bullshit. Period and statement. You go, Mermaid.
Damn. I don't know if I can follow up with that, but I 100% agree with everything that you said. Absolutely. I will say my frustrations from this stupid, ridiculous, whatever you want to call it, absurd 7-game suspension has, feet never left the ice. The refs, I flat out said to the captains, it wasn't even a 2-minute penalty. So you have all these little things and it's like, so how do we end up from, you know, A to Z? How did we get here? And you have this jinx or whatever you want to call it against Tom Wilson. And I am sick and tired of being told or reading about from people that he is a repeat offender. Okay, 2018. Prior to 2018, he had the goon title and he was out there to, you know, be 6'4 and fight and do his thing on ice. 2018, he had the 18-game suspension, which was what reduced to 15 games. It was huge. And I think it was an enormous wake-up call because who we have seen on the ice with number 43 since the Stanley Cup win is a more mature, smarter, more disciplined player in Tom Wilson than prior to that. And so, therefore, you had an incident in 2018, and here we are 3 years later, and it has nothing to do with fighting. It has... to me, it's like, here you've got a player, like you said, I mean, God, up against the boards, he was already there. And there's, you have to think of the momentum of the skater coming towards the player. Shit's going to happen. But was it intentional? No. What bothers the fuck out of me is when they use the word predatory. I am disgusted that Cassidy thinks that he could use that in a post-Bruin, you know, media chat, because that's not what that was. And that, to me, is such a huge, negative, disgusting mark to put on someone's record to say predatory hits, predatory this, because that's not what this was. So that bothers me, because I feel like you have a player who has the opportunity and had the opportunity to turn it around. And he has. He has proven himself in the last 2.5 years to be a leader. He's all over the ice. He's dedicated. He's, you know, we're not seeing the fights as often. And what happened was push comes to shove. You know, people are going to say, oh, what he should have ignored. The chirping and this and that, and something was going to happen. Yeah, well, you know what? Welcome to hockey. Welcome to any sport. You know, you get pushed enough, and at some point, you're going to hit a breaking point. And we know the rival with Boston. So this was just like, okay, but it wasn't a fucking fight. And that's what drives me crazy. It's like, this was not intentional. So frustrated with that, frustrated predatory, frustrated with the repeat offender comments, pissed as hell when you show the clips from Lars Eller. Pretty much same injury, pretty much had him out for a couple of games due to the injury, yet that player who inflicted the injury on Eller, nothing. No minutes, no game suspension. I don't even want to talk about who the player is because I'm so pissed about that.
Well, let me jump in real quick and actually correct you. So the player in question was Leo Komarov, and if I remember right, he was penalized on the play.
Penalized. Yeah, you know what? You're right. He had 5 minutes.
He was penalized for 5 minutes. But the fact that Lars Eller was injured should have, at least in a lot of minds, resulted in at least a hearing for him and saying, okay, can you explain yourself so that we don't have to consider supplementary discipline? That wasn't even considered. That process wasn't even brought up after that hit. The league just looked at it and said, okay, he got 5 minutes. Okay, that was enough.
Exactly. And I think that just, you know, yes. So thank you for correcting me, Peg. I knew that, like, yes, there was the 5 minutes, but that is nothing compared to seven games. Getting to the point of talking about changing the game. Okay. My mom, who I've mentioned before, grew up in Winnipeg. And we always joke about how she would talk about going to school and how often the school photos that you'd have, you know, in elementary school or whatever, and then even middle school and high school, how often the kids didn't have, the males at this time didn't have teeth, didn't have full teeth. And it was because they played hockey. And at the time, 99% of them never wore a helmet. And this was just kind of the norm. Like, you know, you just had players and classmates that just didn't have everything there. And so when things change and you have a helmet and you have, you know, a couple more protective gear things added, I'm fine with that. I'm okay with wanting to support. And if, you know, God, we don't want to see anybody injured and anything like that. I'm fine with that. But what I don't want to see, and I agree with Mrs. Blue Liner 100%, you're dealing with a contact sport. And if you were to take the NFL and say, oh, you know what, we can't tackle anymore, we're just going to do flag football. I feel like if that's like what is going to happen with hockey, it just completely erases the sport. You can't have a contact sport. These players know what they're getting themselves into. Are they hoping to get slammed up against the boards with someone like Tom Wilson? Of course not. Could it happen? Yes. It is a physical sport, but it is also so many other things. Skill, speed, you know, everything else that goes along with any other kind of sport. So to take away hits, it's just, it's ridiculous. It is. It's just like, I'm so frustrated with, and the fact that, you know, everybody knows I'm a huge Tommy fan and I have been for several years. But the fact that he's a target really is disgusting, because I feel like if this was any other player, we would not see such a severe penalty or suspension, whatever you want to call it. And so that's where I'm pissed, because it's like, it's just completely uncalled for. I feel like there are other players out there who are predatory, who are out to injure, and he is not one of them, in my opinion.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. And so, I mean, what it comes down to is, unfortunately, this is going to be the
focus,
the forced come to Jesus moment for Mr. Tom Wilson, in that he is forever going to be under the league's microscope from here on out.
But he has been since 2018.
It's like, right. Exactly. You know, like, and he has. On. Yeah. So I didn't even make that argument amongst my four facts. But yes, he has been he has gone outside of the definition of repeat offender. He has followed the league's mandate ever since his most recent punishment before this. And followed the letter of the rule, followed the league's player safety recommendations. George Parros even said at one time, well, look, he's doing a lot better. I think he's following our recommendations as far as playing cleaner, making hits safer. So if you have, I'm sorry, you have this one time in a heated game with a fan base that's known to be really loud. And let me say something here. You people out there, and I'm probably shouting at the rain, I know, because I know no none of you so-called outraged fans are probably listening to a cerebral, sensible show such as this, where you actually have to have a brain and be a fan of hockey and know what goes on in a hockey game to participate and listen to and appreciate this podcast. So I know you folks aren't listening. You fuckers aren't listening right now, okay? But I'm talking to you. You out there, the faux hockey outrage crowd that screams and throws your arms up and complains and whines every time there's quote unquote excess physicality in a game, especially if it's by Tom Wilson or any member of the Capitals for that matter. Okay. Don't forget, one of the reasons I first created this podcast was to defend the Capitals fan. I am not going to apologize for the fact that this team employs some big people that know how to play the game. And I'm sorry, in the sport of hockey, sometimes you got to fight for what you want. You got to fight for room on the ice. All right. And if you knock a few people down, it happens. Now, again, I never want to see anybody hurt, but it happens. You're not going to legislate injuries out of the game. You're never going to 100% legislate physicality out of the game. Never. Look, I'll throw another example, and it being Women's History Month. The women's game has it written in their rule book that there is no body checking ever. It is a penalty. It cannot be done. But I'll tell you, watch a USA versus Canada game with the women sometime. Watch one of those games. Tell me there's not physicality there. Tell me there's not heated action. Tell me there's not scrums after one of those, especially in the Olympics. If you know what you're watching, then you can appreciate what you're watching. Okay? That's all I'm saying here.
I know.
That's the thing. So you were talking about you being sickened by Wilson as a predator and all that. You know, that's noise. That's how you have to approach it. It is noise from people that claim to be hockey fans. reality, whose lives suck and just want an excuse to rant, rave, and complain about something because either they don't know enough about the real sport of hockey and or have never done a damn thing worth mentioning in their own sad, pathetic lives.
Yeah.
So that all is just noise. If you ask me. So you just have to tune it out because it's noise from fans who aren't real fans. Frankly, they aren't real people knowledgeable of the game. And as I mentioned again, in my Facebook post, A lot of experts who have watched the game for, in a lot of cases, many years more than I have, also piped up and said, hey, this was legal.
Mm-hmm.
It was unfortunate. It resulted in an injury. It was physical. It was violent, but it was legal.
Right.
And there was, other than the end result, there was nothing wrong with the act. The end result wasn't what anybody wanted, but the intent wasn't what caused that. And I think the league made a huge mistake in how they ruled and how not only how they ruled, but how they went about it by deciding to set that precedent. So you're going to see, and again, I can't stress this enough, watch for one of two things going forward. The league is either going to start defining quote-unquote dangerous hits and start doling out suspensions for those as a follow-up to this. And or they are just going to continue writing one set of rules and standards and practices for one Tom Wilson and one set for all the other 600-plus players in the league.
Oh, Jesus. Sorry, my phone just went all crazy.
No, it's fine. It's fine. All right, so that's...
Oh, my God. Sorry. I don't know. It's like, just, all right. Yes.
That's all I'm going to say about that. Did you want to close up? No. Did you have anything else?
I don't. I just, you know, it's the injustice, and it's frustrating. And I really just hate the predatory thing. Like, I mean, of course, along with everything else, but that just really irked me. And you know, screw you, Cassidy, for even saying that in the press conference. So, oh, whatever. So they play the Flyers tonight, and let's just hope the team rallies, gets their shit together, and don't even think about this Wilson situation. You know what you need to do. You know you got to play 60 minutes, especially against this team.
Right. They cannot. Yeah. If they thought losing focus against the Bruins was detrimental, yeah, you lose that against this team. You're done. Because our friend Kerry, I mentioned this to him a lot, to much to his delight. I think the Flyers are the team to beat in the East. I don't think it's Boston. I think the Flyers are the team the Cap should paint the target on.
Because the Islanders.
I'm not too worried about the Islanders. If they lost focus against the Islanders, and I'm not going to go down that road again. We've been down it so many times, but yeah. we know what happened in that series. So
yes.
no need to beat that dead horse. But yeah, no, the Flyers are the team to beat in the East. I think so. Yeah, cannot lose focus against that team. All right, so quick preview of coming attractions to wrap it up. All right, so yes, as the Mermaid just mentioned, tonight's game, it is 6 o'clock Eastern time as we're taping this.
It's 6 o'clock? I thought it was 7 o'clock game.
No, I'm saying now, the time now.
Oh, okay. I was just like, I totally misunderstood you.
Right. So 7 o'clock puck drop in Philly against the Flyers tonight as we speak. Then back home for, I don't know how this worked out, but one game against the Devils at Cap One Tuesday night. Then back to Philly for a two-game set Thursday and Saturday of this week. And then next week, back-to-back Monday and Tuesday, Buffalo ends the road trip, then back home to Cap One. It's a New York type of thing. This I don't understand at all. They play the Islanders once, then two games against the Rangers, then two games against the Devils after no games for 4 days. This is the thing I was mentioning about the holy schedule. That's a big-ass hole. And then another game against the Rangers that next Saturday. I don't know. I mean, it makes no sense at all. Wouldn't it make more sense to have three games straight against the Rangers? I don't know.
Yes, but we don't do the schedule, so.
As I mentioned before, somebody taking a damn near lethal mixture of crack cocaine and absinthe is making the schedule, so. Anyway, previews are coming attraction. So that's what we have to look forward to mostly round out the month of March. And a couple last quick final notes. I should have mentioned this at the beginning, but I was too head up. Just want to mention really quick. Want to send our condolences to the families of both Walter Gretzky, of course, father of Wayne Gretzky, and Mark Pavlich, who both passed away this week. Both very tragic. Walter Gretzky, of course, father of Wayne, and pretty much, because he was probably will go down in history as one of the most awesome dads ever, helped Wayne grow up to be still the greatest player ever on the planet. And lived to the ripe old age of 82. Yeah, he will be remembered as the mentor of not only Wayne Gretzky, but a lot of other players as well. Just love the game so much and passed on his knowledge. I think I wouldn't be too far fetched to have the man elected as a builder to the NHL Hockey Hall of Fame. I don't think that would be too far out of place for that. I think that's what the man meant to the game. And of course, Mark Pavlich, of course, part of the Miracle on Ice USA Hockey 1980 win against the Soviets when they won the gold medal that year, had some mental health issues in the last years of his life, confined to an institution the last few years, and died there. Suddenly, a cause of death hasn't really been determined, but very, very tragic what's happened to him. So, yeah, really, really, really tragic last few years of his life. So Pavlich, of course, known to be part of that famous cone headline. If you don't know that, look up Saturday Night Live from the 70s. But a great player in his own right, made a pretty good career for himself afterwards in the pros. Really, really tragic, though, that he had to, his life had to end that way. Due to mental issues. So just wanted to pass along our condolences for that. And also, this being Women's History Month, we're going to emphasize on reaching out to our female listeners. I am trying like hell to put together another special edition where the ladies take over the show, much like we did 2 years ago. Would okay. love to do that again. So if you're interested and listening to the show, do please drop us a line at our Facebook page or on Twitter or by way of email or however you want to contact us. We would love, love, love to have you on. Okay. So for the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that dark is spelled with a K for a reason, because you can't see in the dark. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.